Day one of the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine, and plenty of storylines coming our way, rumors coming our way. Learned a little bit more about the value of some quarterbacks potentially on the market. The 49ers have one that they are currently shopping. All that and more coming up on today's Winky Wednesday episode of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you once again at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. As you know, if you're watching on YouTube on Tuesday evening, we get the Winky Wednesdays out a little bit early to you. If you like watching this on video, if you like watching this in your car or listen to us in your car on your way to work, you know that this is a Winky Wednesday episode. So let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
I like that. Nicholas Winkler, what's happening, my man? How are you? Have you healed up from our 18 holes of golf we played a couple of days ago?
I woke up on Monday morning. I was like, yep, it's official. I'm old because this is tough getting out of bed. It's a lot of fun. I mean,
you get to drive around in a cart. You shouldn't be sore the next day playing golf.
But I was. Yeah. I mean, that tells you where I'm at physically. Did you mention you're almost hole in one on the pod yet?
No, I did not mention that.
He mentioned it to me. You told me.
Okay.
Did I say that on the air or not? I can't remember. But I figured the listeners would understand just looking at me, knowing I'm a high level athlete, that would be to be expected, and probably surprised that it didn't go in. That it was just a near hole in one and not an actual hole in one.
I mean, it was a beautiful flight of the ball, high, hit right next to the pin and just kind of skirted to the left. And if it was about 4 inches further, it would have gone in. It was a beautiful shot.
It was definitely shot of the day. It only took me 15 holes to hit a good shot. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of shot that makes you keep coming back.
That's right. No, it was a beauty, man. I've never seen a hole in one live. So that was going to be real exciting. We almost lost it. I mean, everybody was freaking out.
you had a scorching back nine. If we could have just erased the front nine from what happened. But it's fun.
Too many time. Lost balls on the front nine.
Shout out to Ryan Covey and Jim Cosmore, who joined us for our foursome over there in wherever the hell we were. What town is that in? Redwood Canyon.
Castro Valley, man. Redwood Canyon,
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun times. Croc's talking about, we talked to off the air. Croc wants to add a little golf course, golf range now next to his facility that he's building down there in Arkansas. He's got a lot of space, so I say go for it. Also, hey, but be careful, Croc. If you go to the used go to the Played Against Sports or whatever and go get a used 7-iron and you start golfing, look out, man, because it'll start to get into your brain and your soul, and then it's frustrating, but it's also fun at the same time, and it can consume you. So just beware.
I'm gonna get into it, man. I'm gonna go get me a club and just start just hacking away and
start swinging. You're an athlete. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Create my own little holes and put flags up and everything.
There you go.
I don't know where to go first with some of the stories we're seeing from the NFL scouting combine. And this is day one, and the players haven't even started running around in shorts. In fact, they still don't start working out until Thursday. I always remember how the combine goes. You get excited. Oh, next week's the combine. And nothing happens until the weekend, practically. So still a couple of days before we're going to get 40 times out there, and we'll see who actually works out, who doesn't, what height, weights, and speeds look like for a lot of these prospects, and I guess tight ends. Quarterbacks and wide receivers will start weighing in Wednesday, then working out on the field, and we'll get those times on Thursday. But there's plenty happening in Indianapolis aside from what goes on with those workouts, and that is when executives and scouts and coaches and everybody gets together and they take the podiums and they start talking. Then they have some martinis behind the scenes and start talking to each other. You get a lot of sourced up comments and stuff. And we're starting to see a lot of that stuff already. I think my favorite one from the day, let's start talking here about quarterback trade value. How about Bruce Arians' comments on Tom Brady? If any 49ers fans out there are hoping Tom Brady's going to make an appearance this summer, might be costly. And according to Bruce Arians, asked if he would trade Tom Brady and accommodate a Tom Brady trade request if he did request one, he said, nope, bad business. Five number ones, five first round picks would be the. What do you guys think? Tom Brady,
worth it.
Well, it is going to be costly. And I've tried to explain this to people, you know, via DMs and things like that on social media. But why would the Bucks want to just, first, they got to take on a huge cap hit. So they got to take on the cap hit north of $30 million. So why would they want to take on that and just give them away to another team? Like, no way. You're going to have to make it worth it. And I'm not going to want him to go to a team that's just going to improve and be a Super Bowl favorite and not
in my conference,
in your conference, and not get much in return for it. Once I heard about the cap hit that they would take, I rolled off the 49ers because it has to be 100% worth it to that team. And the 49ers just don't have anything of that type of value to give to them, that to where it'd be like, well, all right, we gave him to a divisional opponent because he just wanted to go there, but or a conference opponent, and he wanted to go there. But you know what? It was worth it because of we got this haul back. Like, that wouldn't be the case with the 49ers. Mm-mm. They just don't have it. They gave up multiple firsts already for Lance, and I don't see anything that's worth it enough.
There's multiple thoughts I have when I heard that comment from Bruce Arians. And A, he's not the GM, so that's true. That's out there too. And you know, that's just Bruce Arians being Bruce Arians and throwing a nice quote out there. It wouldn't actually cost 5 first round picks, but I get the sentiment from him, and he's the coach and he's competitive. I will say this. Tom Brady just gifted you a Super Bowl ring by signing with your team. I would think that Tom Brady has earned the opportunity to say, hey, I'm not going to play for your team anymore. Can you accommodate a trade for me to go to my childhood team, play one more year? It's not like Bruce Arians drafted and developed Tom Brady, right? He was gifted Tom Brady, and they went and got a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl together. And my other thought is, how the heck did Tom Brady, at this advanced age, at this point in his career, how did he not sign some sort of a contract that gave him an out so he could control his own future? Tom Brady at 45 years old still can't have a say in where he gets to play football. That's like mind-blowing to me and maddening.
It was originally a 2-year deal, right? So it must have been... Remember, I think they did some kind of restructure and added a year maybe or something.
After the Super Bowl? To give him some cap space to bring more people back for the run.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because it was originally a 2-year deal.
Is that a possibility if he does come back? Is there some sort of restructure they can do to make it so that dead cap hit wouldn't be on the books?
The cap hit stuff, all that would happen after June 1st, so it would get spread over to 2 years. So, and that's when he would come back anyway, I'm sure, is summertime. So I think the cap hit stuff would all be spread either way, whether he's cut or released or traded or whatever that is. So I think some of that is mitigated because of the post-June 1st mechanics of the salary cap, and someone would go to this year, someone would go to next year. But yeah, that's it just doesn't feel right if Tom Brady did want to play somewhere and for the Bucks to stand in the way of it and ask for a ridiculous amount, because it's like, sort of, you're gifted this player, he decided to sign for you, and then you're going to do him dirty by not allowing that to happen and not allow. Right. I mean, you don't have to sit there and take nothing. You should get a little something for it, but
I'm taking on $30+ million cap hit, I need more than something.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be $30 million cap hit. But the thing is that the reason that all happened is because Tom Brady came and gave you a Super Bowl. So take a $200 million cap hit. I don't care. You got the ring out. You got what you wanted out of it, right?
And two MVP-esque seasons. I mean, let's be honest. What he put up numbers-wise there in Tampa Bay, he filled those seats. He probably sold a lot of season tickets, too. He did a lot for that franchise.
I mean, Bruce Arians isn't giving his ring back for 5 first-round picks, right?
Listen, bad business. Bad business.
Yeah. It's true. It is bad business. Yep. No, you're right. Personal. Why would you want him to go play for somebody else, especially somebody that stands in your way of getting the Super Bowl? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
And you're not
going to
benefit much from it. That's my thing. It would be one thing if, like, all right, somebody is giving me – and when he says 5 first, obviously he doesn't mean that. But he's saying it's going to take a lot. And the 49ers, you can't give that to me. So if it's someone else, sure. If Philadelphia Eagles come calling and they want to give up three first round picks this year, I bet they take that and that $30+ million cap hit.
But would Brady go do that? Would Brady come out of retirement to play for the Eagles?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, just in general, like if it were that scenario, yeah, we'll let you go and we'll take this cap hit. Okay, we'll get, but like, just because you want to go to your childhood team, and like, no, it makes no sense for us at all.
This isn't a friendly, Yeah, this isn't a friendly tournament and a friendly little thing that's happening. This is a business. You said it.
I totally disagree with that. And this is one of the few cases that I do disagree with that is because it's Tom Brady and because of the point of the career he's in and because of him deciding to come. Like, he anointed your team a Super Bowl team by deciding to come to you for no reason.
So what would it take?
He could have gone anywhere. He allowed himself to go play for your team. He did you a solid by getting you a Super Bowl ring. You do whatever it takes now for this guy to go finish his career how he wants to. Again, it's not a $30 million cap hit because that's get spread over 2 years, and they're going to take a cap hit no matter what. And they knew they were going to take a cap hit when they did the deal and the restructuring and all that. So the cap thing is not a factor at all to me. What it would take, I have no idea what it would take, but it wouldn't take ones. It wouldn't take any first round picks, let alone five first round picks.
Couple young players.
It shouldn't. I don't know if it will. And the other thing is Brady can screw them by coming back too. So he can make it hard on your franchise too. All of a sudden you make all these plans, you go get another quarterback, and all of a sudden Brady shows up. He's like, oh, now I'm here. Now you got to pay me. You got to take me off the reserve retired list. That means you got to trade me or cut me, or I'm going to not play. I'm going to sit out, but I'm not retired. So I'm here. So now what are you going to do? So he can play hardball too. So it's not just that they drafted and developed this guy, and he's doing them dirty. He went and got them a Super Bowl. You let the greatest quarterback of all time, you all sides could come together and facilitate something that makes sense for everybody if Tom Brady really did want to come back.
Hey, Tom, you come back, we welcome you back with open arms.
Right? It's like, just when you think that the door's getting slammed shut, like, Peacock put his foot in there. He's like, nah.
No, but right.
It's still possible.
But that's the thing. He says, hey, guess what? I'm coming back. And so now he's active. He's on the roster.
Yes.
Right.
Then he says,
But then he says, oh, except for I'm not actually going to come. Now I'm holding out. So now you have to pay me. So now there's cap ramifications. And now,
because you get to find him every day that he's not there. And it's a lot of money.
It goes against your cap, though. It still screws your cap royally, because you can't have him on the reserve retired list if he's actually not retired anymore.
Arian's just bumping up the trade value then, right? Just being like, look, this guy might come back and decide to screw us. We want five first round picks, but he knows he's not going to get that. But he's like, come at us, come at us with something.
It's just Arians being Arians. That's the only thing I took from it. I don't think it's actually the roadblock that it would seem like it would be if Tom Brady wanted to come back. I don't think Tom Brady wants to come back anyway, I don't project that being something that's very likely at all for the 49ers or any other team, but it is funny to hear him. Like, it's funny for Bruce Arians to puff out his chest like he had anything to do with Tom Brady being Tom Brady, that was Tom Brady making himself a buck. That was nothing that Bruce Arians.
It's just business. It's just business.
I completely disagree with you, Peacock. I feel like Brady's that guy where he's like, the spotlight's been on me for this long. Like, he's going to take some time away and he's going to miss it. And he's going to be like, wait, I can come back and be in the news again and cause a stir and maybe get to go play with my hometown team. Like, let's go. See, I'm the GOAT.
He could make the storyline happen even without wanting to come back.
Yep.
He could shoot a text to his agent and be like, hey, stir the pot a little bit. Let's get my name in the news a little bit today. We got to move along to some other storylines, including what if Jimmy Garoppolo brought back enough like five first round picks to trade to Tampa to bring in Tom Brady. Is that a possibility? Very unlikely. Some other things we're hearing from the combine in Indianapolis coming up, by the way, some very good props at betonline.net as it pertains to the NFL draft. Over under 4.29 seconds for the fastest 40 yard dash time by any prospect at the 2022 combine. Which position group has the fastest 40-yard dash? Is it a cornerback, a wide receiver, a running back that has the fastest time this year? Rich Eisen's famous 40-yard dashes, 6.03 is the time they've put the over-under on for the Rich Eisen 40-yard dash. Will John Ross's 4.22 get broken this year? Tons and tons. 49 bench press reps at 250. Croc could throw that up, I bet, right now. Will any of those records be broken? Tons of combine props and NFL draft props going up at betonline.ag. So yeah, even though football's over, you can go bet on football at BetOnline and basketball and hockey and boxing, Vegas casino games as well. So head over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends, action, and news in the sports betting world. BetOnline, where the game starts. a lot of listeners are talking about some very pie in the sky ideas about what Jimmy Garoppolo could bring back. Jimmy Garoppolo, though, going under the knife, and it's a story that we already knew was going to happen, right? This from Adam Schefter. He says 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo expected to soon undergo shoulder surgery that would sideline him until this summer, sources tell ESPN. It's not expected to impact his trade status, and Garoppolo still likely to be traded this month, per sources. Garoppolo injured his shoulder during the wildcard win over Dallas, per sources. I don't think we need sources for that one, Adam. He also says does not need thumb surgery for the other injury he was playing through in the playoffs, but still significant interest, according to Adam Schefter, in Garoppolo from multiple teams, per sources. Preliminary estimates are that Garoppolo is expected to resume throwing sometime prior to the July 4th holiday. So it will not impact Jimmy G playing next year. I think we already kind of knew that Jimmy G was going to have some sort of procedure done. And so it's not a long-term injury. He should be back. And according to Adam Schefter, who's probably getting his information from Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, it sounds like, based on some of this stuff, that Jimmy G's trade value will not be impacted. What is that trade value, though? And I believe it was an article in The Athletic that talked about 2 fourth-round picks and maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers offering something of that sort to get Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you think? 2 fourths? That seems a little bit light compared to some folks out there that are trying to talk about how the Niners could finesse a number one pick out of a team.
I think that was me yesterday on the pod.
Trying to finesse that one?
Hey, I was trying to finesse you. Five,
you can get one, okay?
Right.
2 fourths, see, it seems like a number they come with first, you know, like, hey, 2 fourth-round picks. What do you think? And then, you know, then the Niners come back much lower and then they meet somewhere in the middle.
I could see there being a fourth this year and a conditional day two pick next year. I could totally see that being the final trade value for Jimmy Garoppolo. But 2 fourths seems like not quite enough.
With the injuries, I mean, I think you can say it doesn't change things, but I think teams can use that as leverage because he's had a history with injuries.
For sure.
And now all of a sudden, well, he misses all of OTAs, which, you know, people skip OTAs anyways a lot of times, but he can't throw with the team. He can only do walkthroughs and his rehab. So, you know, that's just something else to kind of put towards it. I think because of that, the pick that might be next year and it might be a second, conditional. Might be a third.
Right.
Conditional.
Yeah.
I think that's big time. Yeah, and if I'm the 49ers, I want to go that route. Give me a fourth this year and a conditional third that can turn into a second next year. And I think you take that.
Exactly. I think that's right on, Croc. I think that is exactly the trade. If I had to project exactly what the 49ers end up getting, a day three pick, fourth or fifth this year with that conditional pick next year, that could be a two if Jimmy Garoppolo's active for 8 games or whatever. And I don't think it'll be a high number. Just, you know, the fact that he's available for half the year is probably all the condition would be. It wouldn't be something that's, you know, he probably wouldn't have to be even healthy for all 16 games or anything like that. And if it's not, then it's a third round pick. And so I could absolutely see it end up being that type of compensation. And that's why the conditional pick always made sense to me. And that was before the news about his surgery. And we already knew he was probably going to have surgery anyway. So I don't think this really changes much, but what he ends up getting is the big question. And whatever he gets, it's clear it's not going to be enough to tempt Bruce Arians into trading Tom Brady.
I thought he was going to get surgery on the thumb, though, not the shoulder. So that was a little surprising. I didn't even think about the shoulder surgery.
Yeah, you're right. I thought it was going to be the other way around. So maybe that's worse because the shoulder affects the throwing arm.
Of course.
Hand is just the grip. So
yeah, shoulders don't always bounce back. You know, that is definitely something that's you know, makes you a little skeptical, I think, if you're going to go out and try to bring in a guy that's, you know, you're hoping is going to stabilize your franchise. You know, a lot of these teams are just looking for that guy that can give you 14, 15, 16 games of solid quarterback performance. And if you got a guy who's proven he can't stay healthy year after year, and now he's going under the knife on his throwing shoulder, like, I think to say it doesn't hurt it, I think, is just wrong. Like, I think that definitely affects his trade value for sure.
Do y'all think that he played any different with or without the injuries?
I saw your tweet today. That was funny. Because it's hard to say that. It's hard to say either way, right? I mean, he looked like Jimmy G all year.
That's a good testament to him with playing through injuries, right? Because I'm not saying he was not injured. But I thought what it looked like with him throwing the ball that, you know, in the playoffs, whenever I thought it looked like, it looks like Jimmy. It was quick. It was, you know, accurate at times. He missed at times. I feel like that was pretty consistent with what we've seen really throughout his time with the 49ers, where he's going to make some throws, the intermediate throws. He's snapping that off. It's pretty accurate. And he's also going to have these weird misses that you can't attribute to just injury, because it's been him. And yeah, so I'm curious to see. And I talked about the game against Philadelphia. I was there.
Yeah.
And he was missing throws all over the place. He was healthy as can be, you know? So, and that game was just a poor outing for him in general. And I think some people, I think in a lot of games, you could talk about the, you know, first half versus second half, whether it's good or bad. I felt like in almost every game, there were two different sides to Jimmy Garoppolo. Was it the Bears game where it felt like he was going to get benched at halftime before he had the downfield throw to Debo Samuel? Up until that point, he was very hit and miss and just not very good. I think we've seen him look like that a majority of the time. And then all of a sudden it starts clicking and he's making throws and it's like, oh, okay, there goes Jimmy. But really, I think all parts of it is Jimmy. And it's hard to tell if the injuries had any type of impact, it, just in the sense of what it looked like. Because I mean, playing through injuries, that had to be tough. I think he's a warrior for that. But I'm not so sure it really changed his overall game. I saw one person tweet out, like, numbers, like, well, first half against Dallas, second half against Dallas. And it was like, first half was really good, second half was poor. And it's like, dude, you can point to a bunch of games throughout the year that were that same exact way. And throws that he missed the same exact way. So I think Jimmy is Jimmy, and salute to him for looking the same, whether he was hurt or not, because I think that's hard to do as well.
Oh, it's amazing, Croc, and you're so good at doing this, of bashing and praising Jimmy at the same time. It's unbelievable.
I love how bad and good he is.
All right, more on that coming up, and the 49ers lose another assistant coach. What is going on with the Niners staff? It's March and they need a whole bunch more coaches still. We'll finish up today's Winky Wednesday episode after I talk about Built Bar. And my diet's going well because of Built Bar. Wink's diet's going well because of Built Bar. I didn't think about this, Wink. You had a coconut Built Bar at the turn before you went blazing hot on the back nine at the golf course. I didn't even think about this. And by the way, your thoughts? Coconut flavor? Thumbs up?
So good. Oh, my goodness. That's the best one by far.
It's that protein. I mean,
it improved my golf game.
No, but have you tried the puffs? You can't say it's the best.
No, I haven't tried the puffs yet. No, I haven't tried the puffs yet. Can't say it's the best yet. Okay.
The banana cream.
That's not I've ever tasted.
Banana cream pie. They got the key lime pie. Like the puffs. That's where it's at.
Okay. We'll try that next time we play.
Yeah, okay. I'll bring some puffs for you next time. We'll get you a whole box of Built Bars.
Before the first tee, though. Before the first.
Yeah, have one before each nine holes because you are 10 strokes better on the back nine after that Built Bar because of that protein. 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories in most Built Bars. And yeah, Croc talking about the puffs. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. Fluffy, marshmallowy puffs, not just a protein bar. They are a treat and covered in 100% real chocolate. No matter your favorite flair, you can find it at built.com. Get a mix box if you're not sure what flavor you want to get. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Peacock, real quick, I know we're going to get into some, but I see you checked out some of the quarterbacks that are going to be at the combine.
Trash, or in
this class. And, you know, you obviously the 49ers have Trey Lance, and they got him. They kind of, he had basically a red shirt year. Do you think the 49ers, when you look at this class and potentially 49ers, that's a good question too. If the 49ers didn't have Trey Lance, would they be looking for another quarterback this offseason? Do y'all think so?
They would for sure be scouting quarterbacks and maybe draft one if they fell to 29, but they wouldn't be like fighting to get up to draft one of these guys.
So do you think they were right when you look at this class and kind of how it's played out so far? You gave up two first-round picks for him. One ended up being pick 29. You have Trey Lance, who a lot of people project will go number one in this class via a trade-up with Jacksonville. But because, you know, do you think he's that much better as a prospect from what you've seen from these guys as prospects?
Oh, yes, no doubt. Absolutely. You know, Lawrence and Justin Fields, too. Like, even though the Bears didn't win last year and and Justin Fields did not look good. I think the Bears feel great about that trade right now, about going up, and because there's nobody they were going to draft at number seven this year that's as good as Justin Fields was as a prospect. So I like those moves for those teams in hindsight based on what this class looks like if they're going to be trying to go draft that quarterback this year instead. And I don't know if it was like, if you give them all the credit, the 49ers and some of those other teams for doing that move because they knew this class was going to be so bad, or if it just, you know, turned out lucky. It's like, oh man, glad we went all in on last year's class, because this year's class is definitely not as good as last year's class. But you look at teams like the Broncos and the Panthers that passed in the top 10 on quarterbacks, and they're sitting there in the top 10 again because they're bad, because they had bad quarterback play, and there's nobody worth taking there. Like, maybe you can talk yourself into one of these guys, but I think some GMs are going to get fired. Like, this, I've been seeing names thrown in the first round. This class is garbage, Croc. Matt Corral is about the size of my 3.5-year-old son and has about the same arm. And my son doesn't know which arm he wants to throw with yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not ideal, this class.
I got to say, he's grittier than my son is. My son would probably fold in the pocket. There's some things to like about all these quarterbacks. I don't want to crush them that bad, because there's some good quarterbacks. I was just like, yeah, second round, okay. If, you know, Matt Corral falls in the second round, he's got some moxie, he's got something to him, you would draft him there. Desmond Ridder, I like, as a second round guy, maybe. But aside from Willis, who has a lot of tools to work with, and Willis would be QB5 at best in last year's class, I think. But
and that's saying that you like him more than Mac Jones.
Yeah, and I didn't like Mac Jones that much, but I thought Mac Jones was like a late first-round pick, and that's probably where Willis belongs too, is after pick 15. So it would be, you know, it'd be a battle between Willis and Mac Jones, and I think Mac Jones is definitely a better prospect than Kenny Pickett, who's maybe my QB2 in this class. But I would have all those guys aside from Willis, and Willis, I would argue, is maybe a mid-first at best, and that's based on tools and traits. Yeah, mid to late first is probably what I would say. And you know, quarterbacks go higher than they're supposed to. So, you know, I'm not going to fight someone who, you know, if Washington drafts Willis at 11, I would totally get it. And some teams in the 20s might draft some of these other quarterbacks, and I totally get that. But they're day two prospects, I think, for the most part. Matt Corral is like, I saw him. He can't even – he's like skinnier Jimmy Garoppolo with his arm. You're going to draft that guy in the first round? And there's a lot to like about these guys. Don't get me wrong. They might turn out to be good quarterbacks. I'm just talking about purely as prospects. That's why if a team's looking for a quarterback, I would not screw around with these quarterbacks in the draft. And if they fall to you in the second round, maybe you draft a guy and try to develop them. But I'm not fighting to go one of those. I'm going to go get a veteran quarterback on the market, and I would much rather spend on a known quantity. And if maybe if a guy falls to you in the second or third round that's a rookie, you try to develop that player. But man, this class is not good for those quarterback needy teams.
And one thing too to kind of take into account with this whole thing with the quarterback situation and drafting Trey Lance and being able to kind of redshirt him and see him a little bit, okay, you know, see how he looked from the Cardinals game to Houston game, and you know, he got better, and okay, would be the best prospect in this class. He'd also be like the youngest quarterback in this class if you plugged him into this class right now.
Yeah, right. Corral, I think Corral was a fifth-year senior. Ridder could have come out last year, and we thought he would, and he's kind of the same prospect, maybe an early two is what we thought Ridder was going to be last year. And I think we both liked Ridder last year, right, out of Cincinnati. Right. Maybe he helped himself a little bit, but he's kind of the same prospect as he was.
I think the same. I don't think he helped himself at all. I think it's the same. Yeah. I don't think it moved.
Let's see. Willis went to...
He went to Auburn first.
Right. And so he was behind Jarrett Stidham forever there, and he transferred. So even though he hasn't been on the radar for a long time, he's still older than Trey Lance is, because he had to go through all the transferring and stuff, and he's been at multiple spots. They're all older than Trey Lance, which is crazy.
So not only did the Niners, you know, kind of luck out or strike gold, if you will, by trading up and getting a guy who'd probably be the first round pick, but they also lucked out that it's such a trash draft that now Jimmy Garoppolo's value has skyrocketed, right? Compared to what it would be if there was another quarterback heavy class like there was last year.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
If Trey is good, you know, obviously you hope he is and he works out. You gave up at least in this year, the 29th overall pick.
Right.
Which the value of that on a point scale isn't crazy. And if the 49ers go to the playoffs again next season, I mean, they would have won. If he's good, if 49ers can go to the playoffs with Trey Lance, and, you know, for the next 2 years, the 49ers escape like thieves in the night with what they did and what was out there to come as far as the quarterback class.
Right.
I'm going to tease the topic for tomorrow's pod, Croc, because we don't have time to get much into it today. And we've talked a lot about the 49ers assistant coaching staff. And now another one, a guy that's been a really important assistant for the entire Shanahan family, Bobby Turner. He's having some knee surgery, it looks like, and he is not going to be coaching with the team this year, according to Matt Barrows. No word on whether Turner is retiring forever, but he's not expected to be the 49ers running backs coach in 2022. He missed the 2014 season after having surgery on his knees, and he's having something similar this year as well. So Bobby Turner is 70 years old, and he's been around for a long time. Anthony Lynn actually played running back under Bobby Turner. So Anthony Lynn, I thought he was going to be maybe running game coordinator. Does he become running backs coach and assistant head coach? Is that going to be his official title? We'll see. But the Niners have a lot of needs on the coaching staff, and it can't be just Anthony Lynn taking care of all of it, right? So they still need offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, running backs coach now. So a lot of work to do.
Coach.
And I guess that's why Kyle Shanahan is not at the combine this year in Indianapolis. He's actually staying home, and he's going to go through all the interview process there, and letting John Lynch and the scouting staff do the work there. And he's got a lot of work to do with the coaching staff at home in Santa Clara. So I guess that's where Kyle Shanahan's going to be. A little worrisome, though. Let's talk a little bit about that more tomorrow, about the coaching staff and what's going on there with the 49ers and how they're able to fill that class, and why they haven't filled the coaching staff. March. It's March, man. All the other coaching staff in the NFL are filled already, right?
They probably will do some promoting within. Also, you got to look at Kyle Shanahan's probably like, dude, I mean, yeah, some work has been taken off my plate, but I am the offensive coordinator. Yeah. I do call the plays. I do all this. Now maybe for a year until I figure out who is going to be the offensive coordinator in the future to kind of take a little off my plate again. I just got to do a little bit more with the, you know, game planning and things like that. But I do think having an assistant head coach in Anthony Lynn, who, you know, like I've said, he was the running back coach when I was with the New York Jets. So it's not like it's an unfamiliar thing for him. He was running back coach with the Jets. I know he was running back coach with Buffalo Bills as well. You know, he's done a lot with that. So I they have the guys there ready. Talked about the receiver position. Probably Hankerson will, you know, get in there and be hired there if he ends up taking that promotion. So spots will get filled, just in-house, I guess. And it's just taking a little bit longer to confirm everything.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll talk about some of those potential in-house replacements for those coaching positions. And some listeners have some names for us to go through on tomorrow's podcast, talking about some of these, especially the running back coach position. Wink, thanks again for joining us here on Locked On 49ers.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
And thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen. Croc's beard is looking good. He's combing it back there. Are you looking into a mirror over there, just checking out your beard, Croc?
I got a screen here.
Okay.
So let's all give a little scratch, a little groom before we get out of here.
I will say this is probably one of the strongest bearded podcasts out there right now.
Yeah.
On a winky no way. Well-groomed, for sure. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. For your second listen, check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, which will be critical going down the stretch to the draft, especially this week with the scouting combine going on. Croc and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.